Hey everyone, David here. Severance is back. The Lorehounds are partnering with Properly Howard to bring you in-depth weekly coverage of season 2. Join me, John, Anthony, and Steve as we unpack every twist, theory, and revelation. We've created a dedicated feed just for our Severance coverage. Simply search for Severance Lorehounds in your podcast app, or find the direct link in our link tree. Our weekly episodes dig deep into the show's mysteries, themes, and bigger questions about identity and consciousness that make Severance so compelling. Season Pass and regular community subscribers get ad-free access to our weekly episodes, plus exclusive content like our Supply Closet bonus series, featuring fascinating conversations with experts like the team from Nevermind the Music. We've explored the neuroscience of memory and personality, decoded the hidden meanings in the show's musical themes, and there's much more to come. You'll also get Steve and Anthony's complete season 1 rewatch series. We believe in total transparency with our listeners. And unlike mammalians nurturable, we're happy to share all of our secrets. Find the link for the Severance feed in the show notes below, or search Severance Lorehounds wherever you get your podcasts. Come theorize with us about what's really happening at Lumen.
And remember, the episode you think you're about to hear is merely a reflection of the episode that thinks it's about to be heard.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode for season 3 of The Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime. I'm John.
And I'm Alicia.
We are going to be doing a quick, like 30-minute breakdown of the new trailer that just came out. You can find those links in the show notes, right, Alicia? What links are you including?
So there's a teaser trailer that came out like a month ago, and then there's the new trailer that just came out, and there's also a teaser to a matte teaser that we'll talk about a little bit later. How should we handle, I think we're just going to do full book spoilers for this particular episode, right? That's not going to be in our regular coverage that way, but for this episode, thoughts?
Do you want to limit us to book 5, like books 4 and 5?
The problem is, as I was putting together this outline and thinking about it, I don't always remember where things happen. So I feel like I just want to say a blanket book spoiler thing just in case, so that we're not gagged and like trying to like, you know.
All right. So let's say we could pull from any book. We'll try to avoid like very big, ending spoilers, big spoilers. But other than that, we'll mostly be spoiling book 4 and 5. So if you've not read those and you care about spoilers, which I know a lot of people don't, a lot of people just want to, you know, come along for the ride. They want to know what happens, but maybe it'll be different in the show. Leave now or forever hold your peace. Say not that you have not been warned.
Yeah.
The but Black for the Aja is coming for you.
For the regular episodes, we're going to have the majority of the episode will be book spoiler free. And then we're going to do like David and I did with the Dune Prophecy, where after the credits, we'll do book spoilers per episode.
That's right. That's right. So for now, you know, join us for our weekly coverage. That'll be safe. For now, I think this is just going to be for people who want to speculate based on the books, because I think it would be silly for us to go through this trailer and be like, I don't know what's going to happen, because I know what most of these things are.
I want to tell you about the Leo pointing meme moments, you know?
Yeah. All right. This is going to be fun. Again, last spoiler warning. We're going to go into full spoilers after this. So goodbye.
Okay. So the first, what I like about this trailer is that I think a lot of it comes from what we've already been told is going to be the opening scene of season three. They showed it at Comic-Con in Brazil, and it's basically the Black Aja fighting the rest of the White Tower and escaping.
Ooh, I didn't realize that that was confirmed to be the opening scene. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of White Tower drama this season. And, you know, it's funny, we have Marilyn on the Discord saying, like, you know, it seems like these Aes Sedai are really just not great people, and maybe, you know, someone needs to give them a talking to. And I'm like, they'll get plenty of talkings to.
Talkings to with the power. Yeah.
Do not worry about the Aes Sedai not having not being
not getting taken down a notch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which makes me question, I guess I'm thinking maybe at the end of the season we might see the break in the White Tower, you know, where there's a coup, and that's that one's. So we have like Black Aja versus the rest, but then there's a coup where it's not necessarily members of the Black Aja, just different ideas about how the White Tower should be run.
So I'm going to disagree with you about that a little bit, because I think that it was spearheaded or at least puppeted by a member of the Black Aja, which was Alviarin, who becomes Elida's keeper of the Chronicles.
Right.
It certainly contains members of non-Black Aja.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't really introduced Alviarin, and then she's kind of one of the only glimpses we get into the White Aja. So I'm wondering if they're going to keep that character the same, or, you know, I don't know.
The White Aja always feels very boring to me. Like, yes. Feels very like they are just the people who maintain the rules. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that's very necessary. But it happens behind the scenes, which is okay.
But they're like dispassionate. It's like always about being, which is so anti me. And yeah, they're my least favorite Aja, even behind the Red Aja.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I mean, so on your question, will the tower break the season? From my recollection, the book four ends near the end. Swan is attacked. And that's the last we hear from her in that book. Mm-hmm. We don't see the stilling. We don't see the break. And then book five, we see that there, you know, she escapes. We see that she's still, and so is Leanne, I'm sorry. No, they pronounce it Leanna, don't they?
I don't remember which it is. I would say Leanna.
Yeah.
Okay. I am wondering if Swan is even going to survive this season, because also, of course, like Sofia Canedo is a very busy, successful actress. And also, I think, we'll get to Moraine in a bit, but I think for Moraine's storyline, it frees her up to have her own storyline as goes in the books.
Yes, I agree with that. And while I appreciate Swan later, I don't think it's vital to the story. And if we're going to have to start chopping things off, I think that's perfectly fine. And like you suggest in your notes here, Leanna probably could fit a similar role.
Right. She can do, the same, the stilled thing that you mentioned. It could be just Leanna, and then you still have that plot playing out pretty much the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. And I think we could speed up the tower break stuff a little bit. That would be fine too. Because I mean, of all the things that really drag in the later books, and you know, for people who have not read the later books yet, a lot of people call books 8 to 10 the slog. And I think that books 8 and 9 are undeserving of that. Book 10 is absolutely deserving of that label.
Yeah.
But I think that the tower break plotline does drag a lot. So I would be okay with them sort of keeping that a little low key.
I mean, I think that that's one of the plot lines they'll speed up, and maybe a certain kidnapping, but
Yeah.
So, and also, you know, we know characters like Leandrin have played a bigger role. She's featured prominently in the trailers. And I like that they're able to expand. I mean, Leandrin is an important character in the books, but they've given her more depth and let us see more into her psyche in the show. And that's one of the things I like about the adaptation.
Yeah, she's important in the books, but she kind of nopes out after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't even have a dramatic end, just kind of fades out a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah, that happens with a few characters, to be honest.
Yeah, and so I'd be fine with them expanding her role, and sort of some other Black Aja sisters are going to, like, fade into the background a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be fine with that, you know, in favor of more Leandrin.
Right. And we also see Alana. It looks like it's from this scene where she's crying and people are speculating that her warder died. And we know that her warder, Ivan, was recast from Emmanuel Imani, who played him the last two seasons, apparently wasn't available this season. And so he's recast to Anthony Kay. And I'm wondering if, he's going to die.
Yeah, I could see it. I think that'd be fine. And I think that would give her more motivation to forcibly bond Ran.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Which I believe does happen in book 5. So I'm not feeling too badly about that one.
Right. And about Ran. So one thing is, first of all, I'm glad they're finally making up his training with Lan. We see that especially in the teaser that they're training together. And that's like a big thing in the books that was kind of skipped over in the first seasons of the show because the plot's just like zooming along. So right. I'm glad they take a moment for that. But with Moraine, a big focus of both the teaser and the trailer is her saying, you know, I've seen a dozen different, you know, dozens of different futures, and everyone where I live, he dies.
Right. Which I don't think she ever explicitly says that in the book.
Hmm.
I don't remember her ever saying that. We know that at the beginning of book 5, you have her fight with Lanfear.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if that's going to be part of the ending of this one, but that would be a really busy ending.
But I think it makes sense to do it at the end of a season also, because, we've said spoilers for beginning of book 5. This means she's not coming back for a presumptive season 4, and there better freaking be a season 4.
Right.
And yeah, so it makes sense to wrap up the season that way. And if you set it up like that, where she's like, I know I have to die in order for Ran to live, then it adds more weight up front to that sacrifice.
Right. Yeah, I think that would make sense. From a TV perspective, contracts and all that, I think it would make sense to do it at the end of a season when it really happens at the beginning of a book in the books.
Right. And of course, how does she know all this? Well, a big feature of this season is going to be the Io Waste, also what they call the threefold land, because they say it toughens and strengthens them. We hear in the trailer, we heard last season this word Kara Karn, he who comes with the dawn is one of the titles that Rand has to achieve as in his dragon dominance of the world, basically. And we know we're going to get the Shido clan, who are our antagonists. And again, you were talking about, Marilyn saying that is anyone who's who seems like an antagonist, are they all dark friends? And the Shido clan, there are dark friends, but there are also just people who are antagonists. And of course, there's another big character. Maybe we shouldn't mention. But yeah, we see like Qula Din in the trailer, who's a big antagonist for Rand. So, and we see, what did you think about the glimpses we got of Roydian, the Isle City?
I really liked it. I think that the rings especially look amazing. Like, I could have never imagined a ring setup like that, but it makes so much sense. I'm really glad that they look different from the White Tower rings. Because I always thought, like, oh, you keep having these rings around, right? Like, are they just going to look the same every time? And like, all right, we're doing another ring section. But no, they did really, really good job with that.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And the glass columns, too. So basically, like, Rand goes through the glass columns. Moraine goes through the rings. And they get these visions of for Randis, especially like the past leading up to the present and Moraine. It sounds like we're going to get like the flicker is a thing that we were all hoping for from season two, and they didn't fit it in because they didn't do the portal stones, which I understand. That is like a whole other lore wrinkle that just makes sense to cut. So it looks like
you don't think they're going to do the stones at all?
I don't think so. No. Okay. I think there's enough ways for them to get around. And I think Moraine's going to see the flicker in the rings, which is basically all these different worlds and possibilities. And that's why she would say, you know, every world I see where I live, Rand dies.
Right. And yeah. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
The flicker will also probably play into, we know that Tel Aran Riad, the dream world, they introduced it in last season especially, but that's definitely going to play a bigger role.
Yeah, especially with, I know you have listed here too, is one of the things to talk about, Mogadine coming in. I think Mogadine is one of the creepiest, but most interesting Forsaken to me, because it's always described like she's a coward, right? Like she is a coward. She will stay in the shadows.
Softly from the shadows, yeah.
Yeah, she'll stay in the shadows until she thinks she has a clear shot. But she's incredibly strong when she does fight.
Right.
That's an interesting villain to me.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very excited about her. She looks super creepy in the trailers. They have her with these like black fingertips. Yeah, we know she's going to have, they've teased some of the most iconic confrontations she has in the trailer with like Nynaeve and Lanfear. And, yeah.
Yeah. There's a shot of Nynaeve I wanted to bring up. There's a shot of Nynaeve like going over Perrin. Do you see that as a flicker?
Going over Perrin? What do you mean?
She was like standing over Perrin.
Oh.
And she had like markings on her face.
Oh.
Was that Nynaeve? It flashed really quickly. It looked like Nynaeve.
Yeah, no, it did. I know what you mean. Yeah, and I do think it was Nynaeve. It could be also, we know Perrin. Well, yeah. Because we know Perrin's going to go back to the Two Rivers this season. We're going to get the Battle of the Two Rivers. Mm-hmm. He's going to meet up with the Tinkers again and stuff. And but Nynaeve, I don't know. Will she go back there? We know that she and a bunch of other characters are going to end up in another city called Tenchico. So I don't know if that's a flicker or dream, or, you know, Tel Aran Riad or what. Yeah. Are you excited about Fael or Zarin?
I say Fael.
Fael, yeah, that makes sense. Fael, which means falcon, and that is the chosen name of a princess of sorts from Saldea named Zarin.
And yeah,
she and Perrin, we see them kissing.
Fael is such a messy character. Like I think I'm fine with her. I do not have like the visceral hatred that the fandom seems to sometimes. She is problematic. She is like a very toxic,
she's jealous
partner to Perrin sometimes. But she also is ride or die, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Like she does, and I don't want to get into later spoilers, but I think she redeems herself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think that the show knows what annoys the fandom about her in earlier parts of her story, and I think that the show's going to probably approach that a little bit differently so that she's less annoying at that point.
We can dream. We can dream. Look, Robert Jordan is horrendous at writing romance. Like, let's just admit it. And so, while I don't want them to change the big moments of all these plot lines, I am totally fine with them rewriting some of these romances. I mean, they did a great job rewriting Lan and Nynaeve. I thought that felt much more natural in the show than it did in the books.
Yeah, except the whole big line from the first season landed with a bit more of a thunk, but I'm going to blame COVID on that because that was a finale thing.
Fair enough.
But speaking of rewriting romances, so yeah, I don't know how much of this we want to say, but about Rand's romances. First of all, it looks like we're getting the Egwene breakup, which makes sense. But also, there is a scene that suggests maybe something that fans have been hoping for, which is a more overt romance between Elaine and Avienda.
Romance?
Mm-hmm.
You think there's a romance between them? They're sisters.
First Sisters. Yep. Just like, this goes back to also, you know, we're in the prequel book. Robert Jordan's like, Swan and Moraine were pillow sisters, but women grow out of that. And, you know, the gay showrunner, Rafe Judkins, is like, no, fuck that. Like,
read this, though. Like, this never popped out to me. And I'm not, like, averse to that. I did get that sense from Moraine and Swan. Like, that made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Elaine and Avienda, I really never even considered that as a possibility.
Okay, well, my hope is that they establish their own romance on their own, and then they can, you know, whatever polycule happens, it happens on more even footing.
Of the things that don't make sense in the books, the polycule of Rand and all his ladies never really made that much sense to me, but I just went with it for the ride.
Yeah. I'm like,
so no,
but I think that, yeah, this would feel much better to me and there's a look exchange between them in the trailer that has people like, okay, let's see. So back in the waste, we have Egwene continuing her training tour. And so Egwene's going to the waste rather than Matt went to the waste in the books, but he's going to Tenchiko in the show on the other side of the continent. And this is all just like kind of fallout from what changed with the Matt actor not coming back at the end of season one and everything that's followed from there. And also, I think to me, it makes sense to have Egwene get her Aiel Wise One training in the waste. I don't think they're going to do that whole thing when they're like camping outside Karien for however long.
Well, she starts it in the waste in the books too. And they're there, I think, for a pretty decent amount of time. Like they're traveling over the waste for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that eventually the Aiel Wise ones will come to the wetlands.
Right.
To Randlan.
Season 4, which is happening. Give us season 4, announce it.
I hope so. Look, the show has really improved a lot. And this trailer is like,
I think it was good from the first episode. Yeah.
Well, I think there were good parts of it from the first episode. There were a lot of things that bothered me in season 1, and I'm not going to keep harping back on that because we've improved. And I'm taking the show as where it was at the end of season 2, which was very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and season 3 looks to be even better. Yeah.
I'm really hoping they execute everything well. Everything just looks beautiful. I think they've really finally nailed like the channeling visuals, which is very important for this. I'm very happy with everything.
Yeah, and I'm excited. You know, there's a lot of key story elements that kick into play here. You know, we have in the waste, we have Ruark, who's an important clan chief. He's going to be played by Bjorn Landberg, and people thought he was going to be Asmodian when we knew he was going to be in the show, but now we know he's definitely Ruark.
We're going to get Asmodian?
I don't know. We're going to get 8 Forsaken, and we're not sure exactly which ones. And Asmodian has not yet been name dropped, so maybe not. That was one of the ones I hoped for, but I don't know. Let's see. They'll probably combine characteristics of others.
He's like, another one though that disappears, just nopes out, and we never see him again.
Yeah, but then there's that interesting spin-off story about him on another continent, which is a whole, that's way, way later. But I would love to see that. But that could be another character that does it. Like, we are getting Raven, we know, this season.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool. Cool. Yeah, I think that you could easily write Asmodian out and just have Rand learn from, like, Shadow Luz.
Right. Right, exactly. I mean, they've also set it up with Loghain, and then if he's learning from Loghain, then that makes sense for Black Tower stuff that comes later.
Yeah. I just think that there are so many ways around using Asmodian, and that would be totally fine. And you don't really need another bardish character. Like, you already have Tom. Mm-hmm. You already have, for the comedy, you have Matt. And I hope they give Matt more of a chance to be funny this season. One thing I really liked in this trailer is...
You have to watch the Matt promo.
Okay.
He's full Matt personality. They replaced his bathrobe with a book personality. So
good.
Yeah.
That's very good. As long as they don't go full where Brandon Sanderson went in the last three books, where he just made him Wayne from the Mistborn series.
I didn't read that. So,
okay. Well, Wayne is one of my least favorite fantasy characters of all time. Okay. And Brandon Sanderson, I will never forgive this one thing, which is that he rewrote Matt in his, because, you know, he finished the books. If you're listening and you don't know this, Brandon Sanderson had to finish the last three books of Wheel of Time because Robert Jordan died. Mm-hmm. And he wrote Matt so badly in the first like two books. He kind of got there eventually, but it was never the same. But he really wrote him like Wayne from the Wax and Wayne series in Mistborn, which is just such an obnoxious character. And Brandon Sanderson, I think he's a lovely man, and he can't write comedy. He just can't write comedy the way Robert Jordan can. So I just don't want that. I don't want it to be like cartoonish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matt has like a sarcastic humor to him that needs to be like, the glibness needs to be there.
Yes. You have to watch this Matt promo. You will be very happy with that. It is perfect.
Okay, good.
But I'm hoping there's some in the poster we got, there's some foreshadowing that, you know, one of his eyes is covered. He looks like he might have something around his neck on like a, you know, leather rope or something, maybe a medallion. I'm really hoping, speaking of Brandon Sanderson, that he was wrong about that knife tied to the dagger tied to the stick being his Ashandarai, his weapon, because I'm hoping he gets a proper functioning weapon this time.
Don't think they can do that with later. I mean, I guess there are ways around it, but I don't think it would be as satisfying if he didn't get weapon
right exactly
in the portal.
Right. Yeah. And I hope that they do the snakes and foxes, the Eelfin and Alfin.
I do too.
Which is like another dimension for anyone who doesn't know. And they, yeah, there's all these rules in this dimension, and they are just like really creepy, cool characters. They could show up this season. That could be something that they save for season four, but like maybe we just see a certain red door and then find out in the next season or so what happens on the other side of it, you know?
Yeah, I would be okay if they like left that for next season, but at the same time, that's part of Moraine's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
So can you fully get rid of that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Wheel of Time.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back.
They are changing up some things. Oh, it was cool, by the way, we saw a gold dragon tattoo, which is important with the Isle clan chiefs. We know the wise ones are coming. We see a wise one say to Egwene, "You do not belong here," which you could think would mean the waste, but I think it means Teleran Riat.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what Amis says to Egwene in Teleran Riat.
Yeah.
In the books.
But they are changing up some things. Of course, they're simplifying the whole IO clan system, which, yeah, fair. You know, we don't have time for all those different septs. Sorry. But Bear and Melaine, they are swapped which one can channel. And then Melindra is now a survivor of Malkir, which is where Lan is from. He told that story in season one where Malkir fell. He was like the crown prince of Malkir.
Right.
So now she's going to be
It's a little Aragorn-y. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But I think that's interesting to give another tie to Malkir, not just like forget about that part of his backstory.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were doing the Malkier thing here. That's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we said more Forsaken coming. There's 8 in the show. We know Lanfear is obviously back. She plays a prominent role. Her fighting with Moraine, her kissing Rand, her tormenting Egwene. What was interesting, though, is Shamael, who we saw die at the end of the last season, is on the poster.
Do you think they're going to... Morden doesn't come in until much later. But do you
maybe
think they're
they going to
just have him be Morden?
Maybe. I would
never even... Maybe he takes a new name, but he doesn't change appearance.
Yeah, I mean, people can't, like... We can't pretend that we don't know who he is, though, if he... Like, the other Forsaken know who he is if he doesn't change his appearance. But I can see them just not wanting to lose Faris.
I feel like it doesn't even matter that much, the mystery of it, though. Like, I was never, like, caught up on who is Morden that much.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
true.
I don't know. I think it would have been totally fine if it's not.
We see some bubbles of evil as well. That looks fun. So I've been waiting for that to play out.
Yeah,
more of like the Taviran weirdness.
Yeah, and I hope they explain it well, because that's a weird concept too, mm-hmm. of like it's bubbles of evil. But I mean, you'll have us here to explain it. It's bubbles of evil following the strands of the pattern, mm-hmm. and sort of being drawn to where Taviran are. I think that's
right. And the Taviran again are like the people who bend the pattern toward them, kind of.
Yeah, I still have a few gripes about making Nynaeve, Egwene, and Elaine.
Boo! Taviran.
And I'll tell you why. Because I
feel
think
strongly that it was a good idea.
I think that part of what makes them interesting is that they're not Taviran, and yet they still make mountains move. And
but it is
makes
weird.
Them even more impressive than the
sure.
Taviran trio.
But it's very weird that all the boys are Taviran and all the girls are not. So if you want to do that, then you would have to mix it up some in order to not make it a little less overtly. There are some gender issues in the books.
Yeah, there are. There are.
And this
I
is
just,
one
I
of
did
them.
Not consider that one of them, just because I thought it was, I don't know. I thought highly of the Wonder Girls, because I was like, they are just moving shit on their mm-hmm. own. Like, nobody needs to help them. The creator doesn't need to help them. They're fine. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it makes sense to put all of these all of the Emmonsfield characters on equal footing in that regard, and also makes sense about, you know, how Moraine gathers them all up so quickly and moves, especially considering, you know, they had to streamline the whole Emmonsfield and then leaving Emmonsfield process in the show because
right.
runtimes. I'm excited to see them in Tenchiko. We see there's a lot of Tenchiko is a place where everyone's wearing different kind of veils, and there's like mm-hmm. high fashion. We see Matt is going full into the fashion, which does fit his book character. I mean, we see Lan and Nynaeve together in the trailer, but I guess they're going to then go their separate ways for the rest of the season. I am excited we see a tease of the Panarch's Palace, which is how much do you think they're going to lean into what's suggested in the book about the fact that this is an iteration of our own world? And so in the Panarch's Palace, we see like skeletons and stuff from animals that we know, but they don't, like a giraffe. Mm.
Yeah, I think that we'll see a few things. I mean, I feel like they've already hinted in the show of like this being a cyclical thing in the future of our world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll get it more explicit with this scene with the Panarch's Palace.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about that whole thing. I hope we get, Iganin. We had, Doman last season. And so, yeah, I hope we get that whole story with Iganin, the Shan Chen, who, maybe has a change of heart.
Can I confess that I've never been like a huge Iganin stan? Like, she's fine.
You said that before. I like her though.
She's fine. Like, I just never felt like there was that much characterization there. It like I didn't really get her personality beyond I am very loyal to the Shan Chen and now I'm not. And I just never felt like she was a fully fleshed out character. I mean, and they could change that in the show. I just think that there are a lot more interesting characters.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I always was interested in her because she has one of the most it's where we get some of the most insight into the Shan Chen. It's through her, and also through her struggle of being kind of a middle management Shan Chen, you know, where she has a certain amount of power that obviously gives her a self-worth, but then she's also knocked down a whole bunch of rungs because of, you know, the plot reasons, things that she does and responses to that, and how she responds to that, and learning to build self-worth outside her status in that culture. I find all that very interesting.
I would rather get Tuan earlier and have insight into the Shan Chen that way.
Hmm.
I think that would be my preferred way, but I won't be mad if they have a Ganon. I just don't know if I need it.
I mean, but they're so different. Tuan does not fit, because Tuan is, you know, she is never going to be knocked down. She's cocky until the end.
Ganon
goes through this complete other journey that, you can't substitute her plot line with Tuan's, because they're just in completely different places in the hierarchy and everything that happens with them. And we already have Domon, and they need to.
Well, Alicia, we've said this was going to be 30 minutes, and now we're talking about Shan Chen politics. So let's go on to the rest of what we have to say.
Okay. Well, I guess the last major set piece we haven't talked about yet is they're finally introducing Camelin, which is the capital city of Andor, which is where the Two Rivers is. But this is the Two Rivers is like that remote mountainous region, and Camelin is it's the second largest city in the world after Tarvalon. Is that correct?
I think so. But it's also much different because, you know, Tarvalon is really like kind of ruled unofficially by the Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's an island city state, and Camelin is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is a whole kingdom.
Right. And we're getting Morgaz, we had Elaine, it's the daughter heir. Morgaz is her mother, played by Olivia Williams. Her Aes Sedai advisor is a Red Aja Elaida, played by Shora Agdashlu.
Hold on, did you say Morgaz?
Yeah.
I've never heard Morgaz before. I always hear Morgaze.
Okay, yeah. Well, fine. We'll see how they say it.
I would put money that they're going to say Morgaze in the show.
Probably. this is one of those things, like, I don't listen to the audiobooks, so okay.
I've done both.
Uh-huh. I've read all of, like, the pronunciations in the back of the book, but I may or may not. That is how I learned to pronounce, like, Nine, for instance, but I may or may not follow the my head says what my head says.
Yeah, well, also there's like seven different ways they say Moraine in mm-hmm. the books and the show. Like, the show isn't even fully consistent on it. Sometimes it's Moraine, sometimes it's Moiraine, sometimes it's Moraine.
You know what? When people pronounce my name, everyone says it differently, so I get that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Just another thing that Moraine and I have in common. She's the same height as me in the books, by the way.
When you first started writing into the show, Alicia, before you mm-hmm. became a lore hound, I had to, every now and then, I would see your name in the outline, and I would mm-hmm. put in parentheses Alicia for David, mm-hmm. because David would always say, like, Alicia. And I was like, nope, mm-hmm. nope, I'm going to put this in parentheses.
Yeah, but people who have the same spelling as me, everyone who I've talked to, we all pronounce it differently, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone has a lovely time saying Alicia, because it's Alicia here.
Yes, it's Alicia.
Don't mess it up.
Well, so I mentioned Raven, and yeah, we said spoilers. So Morgaze, sorry, she has Lord Gabriel. I think Lord Gabriel might replace, what's his face, who, you know, another reason why I think Swan might die is the head of the Castle Guard. I think that might just be Lord Gabriel in this, just to simplify things.
You think they're going to get rid of Gareth Bryn entirely?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I could see it. I could see it. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I like him. I don't love him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an interesting character because he's really into, like, duty. I will say we've already gotten rid of one of the great generals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried that we're going to lose that really interesting plot line in the last couple books.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess we're going to have Fael's father, you know, and who is still in my head is Pedro Pascal, but I'm sure they've cast somebody else. I think we're going to get some, but it's like the IO clan chiefs. Like, they just have to really tone it down. There's so many, there's hundreds of characters in these books.
I know they have to, but
yeah.
And we've talked about some cuts they can make already. You put here the stick fight, which I'm very
We're getting Galad and Gawain, who are the brothers of Elaine. And yeah, there are teases both in terms of talking about the season to come and also in terms of what we've seen in the trailer that we will get this iconic stick fight with Matt. I'm very excited.
Galad is really one of the most interesting characters in the whole series, I think. He starts off really annoying and he just gets more interesting as it goes on.
Yeah.
And I appreciate his plotline and I hope they do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has a really interesting plotline. I would actually not mind at all if, maybe I shouldn't say this, but if things with Egwene and the two brothers went the other way.
Absolutely. Gawain can eat my poo. I mean, I am like the most anti-Gawain person you can find.
I'm not as anti-Gawain as other people, but.
Well, I am.
I just think it's more interesting given Galad and his personality and what he comes to stand for in the series. It would be interesting. Yeah.
Kill him off early, Gawain. Just kill him off early. Do it. Do it, showrunners. You heard me.
Yeah, or maybe they swap their personalities. People are not happy with the Galad casting because
really?
Yeah, it turned up some right-wing tweets and stuff. So.
Oh. We barely saw him.
We haven't seen him at all yet.
Oh, I thought he was in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, in the trailer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've known about the casting for months, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so what else? Any other hopes for season 3?
Kill off Gawain. Other than that, I mean, look, they just have to really nail the Aiel. I mean, they're the Fremen, right? Like, they are such a core part of this story. You know, as I've been reading Dune, I've kind of started to reconcile my thoughts between that and Wheel of Time because, I mean, Robert Jordan straight up does steal some ideas from Dune. I think some tropes. But what I've come to think is, like, he's stealing a lot of, like, the colors that Frank Herbert created, but he's painting such a different picture with them that it's interesting to me. Like, the Aiel do not serve the same purpose as the Fremen, and they don't act like the Fremen all the time either. Yes, the missionary Protectiva have been very busy on this planet, but I feel like they feel honestly more independent than the Fremen do by the end of the Dune stuff.
I agree. I think he goes deeper into that culture, Robert Jordan, versus what we get with the Fremen in the books.
Yeah.
Although I think that Villeneuve has done a pretty good job in the new movie adaptations of.
Well, I haven't the finished more. Part two yet. So.
Well, I don't know what you're waiting for.
I was like, I'll finish it later.
Okay. Yeah, for season 3 of this show, I'm really glad to see like some scenes of just characters hanging out in the trailer. I hope we get these moments are really key for me of just the relationships between the characters. And that's what really makes me root for them and care about the story. So, I know that, you know, they have to speed things up a lot, obviously, for the TV show, but I think it is important that they carve out time for those moments of just having fun with your friends, just to build on something so that when tension comes later, when there's like big political stakes at play, it's built on this familial almost love between them.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. I think we're going to have a great season 3.
Yeah.
All right. If anyone wants to write in, please check the show notes for the email address, or you can always send it to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. I just need to figure out what our Wheel of Time email address is because it's been a couple of years now.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to, we're going to be doing a season pass. We'll talk about that, but there's going to be extra lore deep dives. Like we said, we're going to separate the non-spoilery bits with the spoilery bits, and we're going to do full coverage on this. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even say, David's not joining us on this. It's you and me.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone has fun. Wish David well. He doesn't want to do any more Wheel of Time. He's sick of Rand. He doesn't want to see that whiny guy anymore.
Well,
I get it. Rand is little whiny for a while, so I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So is Luke Skywalker, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's got to get some power converters.
Yeah. So is Paul Atreides. Not really, I guess. Paul Atreides had to grow up real fast.
Yeah, all right. We don't need to do this now.
Anyway,
maybe that's one of our, we've been talking about doing like big picture podcasts. Maybe we could do like the whiny hero at the beginning.
The whiny messiah figure. Yeah.
Yep. All right, everybody. We'll see you later. We'll see you over in Randland.
Doviende, Sitovia, Saigon.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions, feedback, and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all our episodes at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.
Hey everyone, David here. Severance is back. The Lorehounds are partnering with Properly Howard to bring you in-depth weekly coverage of Season 2. Join me, John, Anthony, and Steve as we unpack every twist, theory, and revelation. We've created a dedicated feed just for our Severance coverage. Simply search for Severance Lorehounds in your podcast app, or find the direct link in our link tree. Our weekly episodes dig deep into the show's mysteries, themes, and bigger questions about identity and consciousness that makes Severance so compelling. Season Pass and regular community subscribers get ad-free access to our weekly episodes, plus exclusive content like our Supply Closet bonus series, featuring fascinating conversations with experts like the team from Nevermind the Music. We've explored the neuroscience of memory and personality, decoded the hidden meanings in the show's musical themes, and there's much more to come. You'll also get Steve and Anthony's complete Season 1 rewatch series. We believe in total transparency with our listeners. And unlike mammalians nurturable, we're happy to share all of our secrets. Find the link for the Severance feed in the show notes below, or search Severance Lorehounds wherever you get your podcasts. Come theorize with us about what's really happening at Lumen.
And remember, the episode you think you're about to hear is merely a reflection of the episode that thinks it's about to be heard.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.